Imagine being in a place where the average high temperature is 23 degrees and the average low is 13. Oh man, that is so cold. Not only that, picture yourself in an area populated with polar bears. Now, if you can stand the cold, you're probably thinking, who cares about the bears? Okay, they may be cute, but polar bears are extremely dangerous to us, humans. So who would want to live in a place like this? May not be the ideal place for building a home and raising a family, but it's a great place to store seeds from crops and sensitive digital data in these vaults. The place I'm referring to is a group of Norwegian islands about 620 miles from the North Pole. In 2008, the so-called Arctic Doomsday Vault opened. It stores millions of seeds from crops around the world. The second one just opened this past March. The Arctic World Vault stores digital data and all kinds of really important photographs. I'm America's digital pro, Kim Commando, and in this Commando On Demand podcast, we're going to talk about both vaults, but specifically how one Norwegian company has found a way to transfer digital data to a form where it can be preserved, and why frigid temperatures lend itself to this type of preservation, and also the security measures that are in place to safeguard all this data.
Brought to you in part by our friends at Dreamstime, the world's largest stock photo and video community. The right image, anywhere, anytime. Download the most relevant and current images and videos today for only 20 cents each or for free. Visit dreamstime.com. That's DREAMSTIME.com today.
Even if you wanted to brave the cold weather to try and find these vaults, it would be pretty tough. Not only are they located in a remote area, but they're also underground and inside a mountain. The Global Seed Vault was designed to protect our food source. Also known as the Arctic Doomsday Vault, its purpose is to protect all of us in case of a natural disaster or even a nuclear attack. By storing millions of seeds from just about every country, the idea is that we'll still be able to grow food in case our own food supply is wiped out. So seed samples are frozen, and they remain that way thanks to permafrost and the rock structure that surrounds this storage facility. Hundreds of gene banks around the world hold food crops, but they're not able to guard against catastrophes. The Doomsday Vault is looked at as a backup storage facility. This seed vault now has a new neighbor, the Arctic World Vault. It's known as the second Doomsday Vault.
My name is Rune Bjerkestrand, and I'm the founder and the managing director of Tikkl, a Norwegian-based technology company.
His company has spent more than $33 million on researching technology that allows sensitive data to be stored in a vault for hundreds of years.
So the vault is located on this Arctic island of Svalbard, which is, it's around 1,000 kilometers from the North Pole, between the Norwegian mainland and the North Pole, with the state-owned mining company Store Norske, and they have been in operation up there since more than 100 years. The location of the vault is an abandoned coal mine that was abandoned back in 1995.
It's considered a safe place to store digital data for many reasons, including the fact that this group of islands are considered demilitarized by 42 countries. The Arctic World Vault stores any kind of data. Rune says his company doesn't discriminate against any clients, including data from governments. He doesn't disclose who his clients are unless they give him permission.
Important historical and administrative data from their archives. Norwegian intermunicipality digital archives, so they store administrative records which they are obliged by law to keep. But it could also be research data, it could be meteorological data, it could be media data, it could be books, documents.
He says that these clients actually wanted their names associated with the Arctic World Vault opening.
Right now, the only clients we can disclose is the ones that was a part of the inauguration. So I think, you know, they were very supportive and they wanted to be a part of this important opening, but they will not disclose clients, you know, in the future and what kind of data they have.
So you might be wondering, like I did, how much data does this vault actually hold?
This is a mine, let's say mountain hole right now, and the mine is in total 3.5 kilometers, so there's a lot of space in that mine for future needs.
Now remember, the vault is only storing data at the moment. It doesn't have the capability to store a monument. But there is a way of storing plans to rebuild those monuments.
For example, in Syria, when things were bombed and destroyed in Palmyra, which they're actually doing more and more places, do three-dimensional scans of their objects, of art and the monuments. We could actually preserve that file. It could be recreated and rebuilt in the future from 3D files. We're engaged in projects where they are scanning historical artifacts for preservation for the future, because things are destroyed by age, and also they are destroyed by the incidents and accidents and war and terrorism. So I think, you know, that will happen more and more.
As you might imagine, in order to scan objects or to store the data, there's a special process that's involved. We're going to tell you how that works and also discuss all the security measures, specifically, what's the likelihood of hackers getting their hands on this data? All that's coming up next.
Chem Commando is brought to you in part by iDrive. Back up all your devices on just one account. Use promo code Chem for 75% off your first year. iDrive.com, promo code Chem.
Before any data or photographs reach the vault, it must be transferred to the company's long-term data form. Named after the company Pickle, this film converts data into a migration-free preservation medium.
It's not the place where you can just come with your hard drives or your data and have them stored. The client transfers their data either, you know, through a virtual connection or through physical transfer of disks and tape to a Pickle partner that is receiving the data and writes them onto Pickle film. And we basically convert the data into a very high resolution that's written to film. It's based on an open source format. So together with the data, we write all the information proven to understand the data in the future. So this is what we call a self-contained migration-free storage medium.
I'm sure you realize the process of transferring the data doesn't take that long, but it totally depends on the size of the file.
Well, the system interfaces to any IT infrastructures, or the transfer rate is at 40 megabytes per second, so it's maybe half the speed of the transfer to your normal hard drive.
The permafrost conditions lend itself well to this type of data storage. Inside the mine, it's 5 to 7 degrees below zero, so the data lasts a lot longer.
The combination of the medium with the unique longevity properties and the self-contained properties of the Pickle film, which has a lifetime, we qualified it already for 500 years, and up there we think it could reach 1,000. And why we say that is because the storage conditions are ideal, the climatic conditions are ideal for storing data on film.
Rune is charging clients for storage, but he hasn't come up with a business or payment model. He says the huge interest took his company totally by surprise.
We had the idea to start this with some initial early adopter clients that really liked the idea, so we got it started. But then it spread out, and the interest globally has been really, really big. So now we, of course, need to settle on a proper business model and a proper pricing model.
Security is tight at the Arctic World Vault. To begin, the vault is on a special island regulated by an international treaty that has been in operation since the 1950s.
Major superpowers of this world have all signed to the treaty and accepted this to be a demilitarized, under Norwegian sovereign control.
Aside from that, the vault is so secure, it's safeguarded against a natural disaster or even a nuclear attack.
The medium itself, you know, is the photosensitive film medium is very strong with respect to any kind of radiation, electromagnetic and nuclear radiation. But here it's physically stored 300 meters down, 200 meters inside, with security levels and double locked doors and gates. So it's really, really secure from anything, any physical and any logical threat you can imagine.
The company doesn't worry about hackers. They say all the data that's stored in the vault is offline, meaning no one can access it from the outside.
There's, of course, a lot of physical threats to data, but I think even more dangerous are the logical threats, because data which is stored online in an online IT infrastructure, they're all at risk for, you know, cyber hacking, cyber crime, data theft, data manipulation. So we offer a service and a location which is truly offline and truly stored in a space where you can trust that your data will be accessible in the future and they are the guaranteed authentic data.
But data protection from hackers is still a top priority.
I think this is more and more important in today's society with a lot of hacking and crime and fake news, that you can guarantee that these data are the ones originally preserved, whether it be 10 years ago, 50 years ago, or 100 or 500 years ago. You can trust, well, these data, when they are to live in the future, they are guaranteed the authentic data.
If that's not enough to convince you that the vault is secure, there are the polar bears that I mentioned earlier.
The whole location is guarded by polar bears, right? So you don't want to challenge yourself and expose yourself to a hungry polar bear.
While organizations and companies can store data in the vault, individuals, they can't.
We already had a lot of requests, actually, from private consumers, but we are not able to deal with that kind of requests at this stage. But we clearly see that there should also be an interest and a demand from private persons wanting to store their family memories, their videos, their pictures, you know, their private documents. So we think we could develop the service to support that need later on.
Rune says it's possible storage of data could be opened up to consumers within a couple of years. So what about me? I'm an individual, but I have a top-rated national radio show. Can I store my data there?
It's an organization, right? It's a company. So then the service is open for companies.
What would I want to store? I'm going to need to think about that a little bit more. In the meantime, I was curious if Rune had any plans for a third vault down the road. It's possible. He's talking to researchers about doing a cryopreservation of living plants.
They do long-term preservation of plants. We do long-term preservation of data. So let's see, well, is there any reason to combine that? And yes, actually there is. So we developed a method, which has actually completed the research project now, where preservation of plants in liquid nitrogen, minus 196 degrees Celsius, together with the related data.
Based on his experience, Rune thinks that there's going to be a real interest for many countries to preserve living plants for the same reasons that they want to store digital data.
Today, there is a lot of threats all around the world. There is neighbors that, or there is countries that doesn't trust their neighbor. They have a strategy to take their main data out of the country. Or there is a bombing of museums and historical monuments are destroyed. So I think, you know, having such a place to preserve the important memories and even the DNA of humanity really makes sense. And that's actually to preserve living plants and the related data for future generation.
One thing that I love about Rune is that he really enjoys his job. That's so important.
It's really, really interesting, really interesting. And also to be able to use this technology for something that really makes a difference, it's really inspiring.
Rune sent us some really great photos the day after the interview of him and others of his company standing in front of the Arctic World Vault. Take a moment to head over to commando.com and you'll find the article as well as all the photos in the Happening Now section under the Read button. Thanks for listening to this Commando On Demand podcast. If you like what you hear, be sure to share this information with your family members and friends. My podcasts are available on iTunes and in the Google Play Store, but the best way to listen is to get them in the free Commando.com app. Just search for Commando in iTunes or Google Play. Oh, and by the way, would you like to watch my show live or maybe on demand on your schedule? You can if you're a Kim's Club member. Learn more at club.commando.com. And also, as a Kim's Club member, you can even come by and be my guest in the studio next time you're in Phoenix. And to listen to my show wherever you may be, all across America, go to commando.com/radio.
Simply Safe. Thanks to Simply Safe, protecting your family is simple. Get 10% off at simplysafechem.com. That's simplysafechem.com.